There we go. That's better. Welcome to episode 234 of the Legion of Reason Division. I am your host, the Supreme Irreverend Dr. Randy Tyson. I am joined by my co-hosts, Twyla and Christine, as soon as I actually bring her in. And we're also joined today by our gay correspondent, Shane. Hey, Shane.
Hello.
Hey. And we're ready to rock and roll. Today we have a whole whack of stories. Most of it is in the Catholic watch. A lot of stuff going down, but a couple of things have happened, and this is especially close to Shane's heart. Edmonton Pride was last week, and let me go to the Chrome browser here. So a bunch of protesters interrupted or held for ransom, basically, Edmonton's Pride Parade. And they demanded that EMS, Edmonton Police, and the military, anybody who wanted to join from those organizations, would not be allowed to wear uniforms. And this is the kind of thing that's been going on all over Pride, where it's, you know, Toronto, what happened with Black Lives Matter halting a parade and basically holding it for ransom until their demands were met. So we're going to talk about that first. Christine, are you there? We can't hear Christine.
Yes.
Oh, now we can.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Sorry, okay. I was muted because I don't want to interrupt.
So. Yeah. So here we are.
Everybody.
All right. And let's go to the Skype and two. So, not two, three, four. Skype. Oh, it's going to do that again, isn't it? Okay, let me get the Skype back up. Come on. And then, there we well, it's going to get there eventually. Okay. And so, what is everybody's opinion on this? Because I've heard differing opinions on this. Of course, I'm no fan of this tactic. I don't believe rational people should be doing this. Shane, you're a member of the gay community. I'll let you speak on this.
Well, they're hijacking somebody else's event to gain notice for their own cause. The police and the military haven't been an issue for the gay community in decades. So the excuse that the historically, oppressed LGBT community, I think, is bullshit now, because they're kind of on our side now.
Yeah. I know you talked to a few people up in Edmonton, and and what do they have to say about this?
They felt that if we keep going this road, that it'll never be good enough. You know, the police, the military, they'll never have made enough amends to participate. So they thought that the Pride should go back to being more of a protest by the LGBT community. Rather than a everybody's welcome event.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's certainly commercialized now. I mean, they must get a fair amount from the fees involved, the Pride Committee, which is not the same as the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Pardon me for interrupting, but I've got a message here that says somebody, Jim, who's watching, can't hear you.
You can't hear us. Why is there something?
Well, not us. You specifically.
Me specifically?
On the live Facebook video.
Okay, let me see if I can do something here. I don't know why I can't be heard. Let's see if I can fix this. Okay, let's see if this works. Is there an output? Not from that. Okay, let's see. Let's try another one. Nothing.
I just told them we're trying to fix things. To let us know when you can hear him. Enough. Asked if it was just you.
Well, I'm outputting. I don't know what's...
Now he says there's no sound from anybody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Can somebody listen on the YouTube channel and see if they can hear, if you can hear anything, because I can't do that.
Okay. I don't know. I don't think I'm hearing anything. Right here, delay.
Oh, no.
Hello.
Hello.
I don't think we're streaming on YouTube either, actually. Or I don't think our sound is coming through on YouTube.
Well, just turn it on so you can hear it.
Okay.
Or if you can. Microphone, where is... What is going on here? Let me try... Voice meter aux output. Okay, voice meter aux output is here. We need to. Let's see if it's gonna work. Hello. Okay, there we go. I got it. Okay.
You got it?
Okay, say something out there.
Hello?
Hello. Yeah,
we're good. Okay.
I can hear now you.
Now we're streaming.
Too.
Yeah, so... All right. Hey. You know, we missed a whole bunch of stuff here. I guess people heard you talking, Shane, about the Pride parade being held up, held for ransom. Yeah,
yeah,
we were just about to talk about the, you know, what you heard from people in Edmonton.
Yeah. Well, they saw it coming because, you know, Toronto was a couple of years ago. They were the first to go. And then Vancouver and then us. And it seems to be a very small vocal minority that are pushing for this, but...
Yeah, I'm wondering about the members of, you know, for instance, Edmonton Police Service, and how they, you know, the LGBT members of that organization, how they feel about this.
Oh, well, they're not happy, though. The chief of police of Edmonton is gay, and I have a friend in Edmonton who is an Edmonton Police Service officer. And they feel like, you know, everything was going great for years, and now all of a sudden they're just not welcome. It's very puzzling.
I'm wondering if this, if these protesters, if they, any representatives ever went to the Pride Committee, or even here in Calgary, because the same thing happened here. Well, I guess I guess they did here, but they you know, Calgary immediately caved in. Edmonton is different, so I don't know if the, if anybody actually approached the Pride Committee there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, Calgary caved right away because they'd seen what happened in Toronto, and they didn't want to see the parade stop for half an hour or whatever it was that happened in Toronto.
Yeah,
Edmonton, I'm not sure exactly.
Can you remind us of what happened in Toronto for those who aren't familiar?
In Toronto, it was a couple of years ago, the parade was proceeding as normal, and then it was stopped by a bunch of BLM protesters that sat in the roadway. And that was the parade that Justin Trudeau was in.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just want to familiarize. Randy, so, there seems to be quite a noise coming from you.
Me?
No, from Randy. Do you guys hear it too?
A little bit of feedback, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's nothing I can do about it. Sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, so the Toronto Parade was held up until the Pride Committee organizers agreed to a written set of demands before they would get off the street and allow the parade to continue. And so that happened in the June of that year. And then Calgary's Pride is always late. It's in September. So they didn't want a repeat of the Toronto thing. So they caved before the parade even started.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hate this tactic. And I know why they do it. Because it works. It accomplishes the goals. It's the heckler's veto. And, you know, it's just, yeah, it's not the act of you know, rational people. You know, you just don't do this.
Right.
I mean, but I talked with somebody the other night, and he was saying that maybe it's marginalized voices that we're tired of not being heard. What do you think about that kind of an argument?
I don't buy into that. If these marginalized people felt that they had an issue, they should be addressing it with the police services and with the Pride Committee and work out a mutual solution that works for everyone.
Yeah.
But beyond the actual hijacking of the Pride parades, they don't seem to make any attempt to reach out and make any kind of agreements.
May I add a couple of an observation? Well, ask a question, Shane. From what I understand, it's coming from the two-spirited community who have taken on the Black Lives Matter model, so to speak, right? Oh. And I'm wondering why they haven't shunned religious groups, uninvited religious groups, when you consider the history of residential schools and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah,
well, that was just Catholicism.
My friend in Edmonton, that was one of his arguments. He said, well, if you're not going to allow the police, why do we still allow the churches? All of the churches are in the parade.
Yeah, yeah.
Including the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, I didn't know that, actually. You know, a lot of the fundamentalist churches, we're going to get to a story a little later on about Trinity Western. You know, they're very... gayness as being, you know, equivalent to, yet you're going to burn in hell, which kind of makes me wonder why anybody who is gay would, or lesbian or whatever, would be a Christian. we've had this discussion before. It doesn't make any sense to any of us, but you know, there it is. You know, there are gay Catholics that, you know, I just don't get it, but oh well. Nobody ever said that anybody that was Catholic was totally rational. Certainly not me, anyway.
A lot of gay men go into the Catholic Church to try and prepare themselves.
That's kind of what I've been, what I've thought. And, you know, the clergy in the Catholic Church is, it's estimated between 40 and 60% are gay.
Yeah.
So it's basically, okay, well, religion didn't fix me, so I need more religion.
By choosing a life of celibacy, you're going to avoid the temptations.
Yeah, and most of the rest of the Catholic priests are married, which is bizarre, but it's very common for Catholic priests to secretly marry.
Right.
Yeah, it's just very strange. It's not very Catholic. You know, that's the irony of it all. I have put the phone number up, if anybody wants to call at 1-587-288-1067. That's a toll-free number, and we'd love to hear you hear about your ideas on this topic, and we're going to get to a few more in a minute.
Randy, are we streaming on Facebook? Or, sorry, on YouTube?
We should be.
I know we were, but then it got canceled.
Oh, it's... Oh, it stopped. Damn thing. Okay, I'll have to fix that. This thing died. So I got to start the broadcast. God damn it.
Blasphemy.
Yeah, god damn it. All right. Hey, we're back. So yeah, we're back. Okay, we should be streaming. Okay, Facebook now. Okay, so we're back on Facebook and we're back on YouTube.
Are we
going to
blaspheme some more?
You're going to blaspheme. Oh, yeah. Well, definitely, especially when we get to the story on the Pope calling blasphemy the worst sin. I mean, it's amazing. Words they don't like are worse than priestly and pedophilia. Actions. It's amazing. It's just astounding.
Yeah. All murder, pedophilia, stealing somebody's wife.
Yeah. So we
that
are.
That guy's all over the place. One day it's okay to be an atheist. It's okay to be gay, and then the next day blasphemies are the worst sin ever.
Like, the atheist is still going to hell, but yeah.
As long as they don't act on it, right? You know.
That's a pretty well.
Spend your life in celibacy, and never enjoy a moment of things we cherish. Atheism?
Yeah. So.
Well, no, being gay.
Well, right? just for the people out there.
You're allowed to be.
Sorry, I we got to go back because just for the people who missed out on what we were talking about, I'm not sure exactly where the feed cut out. So Shane, if you can go over again what the people in Edmonton in the gay community are telling you.
They're saying that they don't think that uniformed officers should be banned from the parade because they're all pretty much on our side now and have been for decades. The chief of police of Edmonton is gay. There's many gay officers in the EPS service. They feel rather hypocritical that if they're going to ban the police, why don't they ban the churches?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, you were saying that even the Catholic Church participates in this.
Yeah.
It's weird. I mean, we all know that. What's his name from Street Church participates sort of in Calgary on the sidelines. Arthur Pavlovsky.
Arthur Pavlovsky, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you just love that guy.
As we all do. Yeah.
What a bigot. He's something else, but we've talked about him lots and probably should leave him in our dust.
At least he's marginalized here. You know, most people don't pay attention to him.
Well, he should hold up a parade then. find a parade to hold up.
Don't give people ideas.
He's afraid we'll show up again.
Yeah.
Well, it's like I said, you know, this whole Black Lives Matter tactic. They do it because it works. So a tiny voice has a great deal of power because the police certainly don't want to, you know, arrest people and make, you know, the optics of that are worse than not being told that you can't participate in pride in uniform. And as you said, also that people who are members of the LGBT community and are, you know, and also in the EPS, the Edmonton Police Service, are not happy about it either. And right. We just lost Twyla. I'll get her back in. Yeah, there she is. Yeah, it's an unfortunate thing. I hate the tactic. It's the heckler's veto or on steroids. It's much, you know, it's much worse than that. So, anyway, not much to... I can't add any... anybody want to add anything here?
Yeah. Well, if they are so inclusive, why exclude them? And why does Black Lives Matter get to dictate what happens at a pride parade? And as Shane said earlier, they want to maybe put it back to more protesting the...
More grassroots restriction kind of thing.
Yeah. Like... It's become so long and so commercialized now. It's basically just another, like, a stampede parade, like a Macy's or a Klondike parade.
In drag.
Yeah, Vancouver's Pride Parade is now, what, 4 hours and a bit, and it's because every bank, trade union, shop in town has a float, and it has nothing to do with gay people or pride or anything. It's just about, selling spaces and,
That's true, but once commercialization, you know, reaches, then it's normalized, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So,
Well, like, yeah, that's it. It's a double-edged sword, right? You have, on the one hand, it's commercialized and it's worse than Christmas. and on the other, it means that nobody cares anymore, you know? Not nobody, but most people don't care anymore.
Seems to be missing the whole point.
Well, not only do they not care about the issue specifically, but they like to go down there and take their families and enjoy the beer gardens and, you know, music and stuff like that. It's a family event that's it's fun. It's fun, you know.
Yeah, I've
taken has there been? I'm just wondering if Shane's noticed any difference with the change of government, if there's been some more inclusiveness with the NDP, or if there's been any difference, or...
Not really. Well, Alison Redford was in the Pride Parade when she was the premier. But she was the first.
Yeah.
But between her and Notley, no, not much of a difference, really.
Mostly in the gay-straight alliances in schools, which is another fight that's coming up in the courts, and where they're, you know, they don't know yet, like Christian schools, whether they have to abide by the law prohibiting, you know, not informing parents of, you know, members of these gay-straight alliances. And it'd be a horrible thing if kids who come out to their parents get outed by the school.
Yeah, because the UCP want to classify them as sex clubs.
Yeah, so how perverted is the UCP? The UCP is disgusting and perverted, even saying that.
Yeah.
These are kids in school. They're going to be gay whether or not they're going to call them sex clubs or not. Like, what a bunch of...
Wow, that is just ridiculous.
UCP is disgusting.
Yeah, I can't see the courts siding with, Christian schools or the UCP, the United... we should just call it the United Christian Party. It's not the United Conservative Party. really is.
They're a bunch of United Perverted Christian Party.
Tell us what you really think, Twyla.
Yeah, they're the kind of people that, you know, would send your kid home from school in elementary because their shorts were just slightly lower or higher than the... Whatever it is, where your, you know, fingers touch your thighs or whatever, and
no yoga pants.
They're so bloody weird. They're the ones. Yeah, they're looking at kids going, oh,
yeah.
I can't see a court siding with the Christian schools or the UCP party because there's obvious harm in that outing kids to their parents. I mean. There are a lot of parents in this province. This is a very conservative province, and I mean that in the small c. And we're talking Christian conservative, not just, you know, Joe Clark kind of conservatism, which is reasonable conservatism. This is very unreasonable conservatism, and so many of these people would disown their children if they found out they were gay. I have no doubt. It's literally dangerous for them. So I don't see any court being okay with the school being required to inform parents.
Right.
Isn't this just a tactic to kind of prevent the schools from even having them then? Because what kids are going to sign up?
Well, they won't have the jobs if that's the policy in place, but nobody will be willing to do it.
Yeah. I think that's their agenda.
Is this kind of demographically related too? Because I remember when Kara was in, I think, junior high or high school, I said, hey, why don't you start up an alliance, right? A GSA. And she said, no, because we're, you know, she has a bunch of friends and they just, it's a total non-issue, right?
Yeah.
So starting up a club would have, you almost would have been made fun of because it was already no big deal, right? That's what I'm saying.
The rest of Alberta, on the other hand.
Sorry, Shane, what were you saying there?
In the larger cities, they're probably not needed to the point where, it is almost laughable to have it because it's so accepted. But these kids that are living in Fort Mac or Red Deer,
and Red Deer's not a small city for Alberta.
Yeah, and I can even
We're very hick, though.
I can even see certain communities within Calgary not being on board, right? You know, I live in a
pretty, especially if it's one of these Christian charter schools, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, I was just thinking of even the public school system.
Yeah.
You know, I live in a trendy, area close to downtown, and there's lots of, new agees and open-minded people, so to speak, right? So, dark communities that are
hippies.
It's
all hippies down there.
Where there's some communities where this is supposed to actually happen to prevent bullying and give them a sense of community and belonging. So,
And a place to speak their mind, and to get support. A lot of it is support, right?
Yeah.
So, have we talked that one up?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Good. Okay.
No messages on either of the platforms, so yep.
Let's go on to a related story. Let's go on. This is the Trinity Western. They lost this. It's a Christian law school. They lost their fight to against the law societies that were refusing to recognize any law degree from it's basically the bar associations where we're not recognizing these universities because they had what they called a community covenant, which required students to not have and not engage in extramarital sex. And it would have to be man and woman. And it was, so this is very, first of all,
but teachers
and professors and staff. Yeah. It was crazy. I mean, you're basically imposing rules that have nothing to do with academics on students and staff. That's kind of like it's basically covering all aspects of their lives, whether they're when they're there. But anyway, it's been a long, long road. In British Columbia, flip-flopped. Originally, the government said, okay, we'll recognize it. And then they said, no, we won't recognize it because of the human rights legislation violations. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, in a 7-2 decision, sided against Trinity Western University. I want to play something about this, here's a soundbite from the lawyer Andre Schutten, who is representing one of the interveners in the case.
This is a very significant case, and you should look at it paired with the Wall decision from 3 weeks ago. In the Wall decision, a unanimous court here said that churches are free from the interference of the state, including secular judges, and that judges cannot interfere in church membership disputes. But then when you compare that or you pair that with this decision, basically the message I'm getting from the Supreme Court today is that you can be a Christian within the four walls of your church, but leave it there, please. Don't apply it to your public life. Don't apply it to your professional life as a lawyer. I think that the Supreme Court, the majority of the Supreme Court, held to a very particular view of religion that's very individualistic. They downplayed the importance of community and holding each other accountable within a community. And that's unfortunate as well. It's a narrow view of what religion is and what religious community is all about.
It's very draconian to impose such a rigid and, well, frankly, oppressive covenant. What do you call it? Covenant. Just to attend that law school, especially when it is the law school doing that, because they have all the power. Students don't have any of that. They're basically at the mercy of this university. So I mean,
it's kind of ironic that they're a law school and kind of breaking the law.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, they're very discriminatory. Of course, you cannot be. Well, I suppose you could be LGBT as long as you didn't do anything LGBT. And, you know, like, or even if you're, you know, straight and, you know, and
just no
single, yeah, unmarried, and you know, yeah.
So
you've been with your, I don't know, fiance and living together for 10 years, but you're not yet married.
And they find out, right? And you get kicked out.
Yeah. I think Alberta and Saskatchewan were the only provinces that actually did agree to give them accreditation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, surprise.
Yeah.
You know, those are the two most conservative provinces in Canada, probably.
Yeah.
Anybody else got to say something on that one?
That's crazy. That's something that you'd hear from like 100 years ago. Impositions on private sex lives.
Nobody ever accused religions of being forward thinking.
Yeah.
And I really question like how good of a law school it is if they can't you guys suck. Why accredit these guys? Stop it.
So the law societies, the bar associations wanted to, you know, say, hey, we don't agree with this kind of flouting human rights legislation, yeah. And just said, they just said, no, you're not going to get accredited. And and the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision, there was the minority decisions, the two dissenting judges thought that the law society's powers should be limited, but it really then it reduces the bar associations to rubber stamps. I mean, it's
right, yeah.
You know, so it's going to be a far-reaching decision, but it's not going to be going into for instance individual doctors that won't provide abortion services or whatever. But it might, if you think about it, carry over into Catholic hospitals. You know, they impose certain, well, they first of all, some Catholic doctors will not prescribe birth control. Catholic hospitals, yeah, will not provide abortion services, and no Catholic healthcare institution is going to provide will have anything to do with assistance in dying. So maybe, hopefully, this will be broadened a little bit. I do not believe in there's such a thing as a Catholic hospital. It's a bunch of Catholics running it.
Well, I didn't read the actual decision itself, but I thought it only pertained to like the private lives of individuals that.
Well, they looked at the harm that it may cause. I mean, if you, for instance, are somebody who's a member of the LGBT community, and what's the potential harm for these people if if they're found to be in violation of this covenant.
Right.
And that's kind of what the majority opinion was about.
Right.
So it was a big thing about the man and woman, because it, specifically in heterosexual sexual relations.
Well, that they were also talking about how if you are not married and how you're not hetero, how you're not going to attend the school. Right. So the Law Society of Ontario, they said access to justice is facilitated where clients seeking legal services are able to access a legal profession that is reflective of a diverse population, responsive to diverse needs.
Right.
So,
yeah, if you listen to the clip I tried to play, basically the lawyer was saying that we can't practice being a Christian in our, you know, as a practicing lawyer. And I'm like, you're darn right. you don't get to be judgmental about your clients.
Well, if you don't want a gay marriage, don't get one.
Yeah.
You don't want gay sex, don't have it. Like, you can still be a damn Christian. I don't understand
my
this.
My damn fucking business.
Yeah.
Well, be professional. It's the definition of being professional. You don't care about the life of your clients, like what they do in their private lives. It's only
about professional, but it's also minding your own fucking business.
Right? Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. That's exactly part of being professional. Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't go to your neighbors and pull that shit or something like that, or maybe you would, and you're gonna face consequences, aren't you? You know, Basic.
Do your job, never mind.
Yeah.
And let others take the education. I mean, if these people are accredited and getting funding, that means another institute can't take that business away. So.
Yeah. I think I might want to talk about the Quebec thing. This is interesting. This is a Scientology story. Quebec's labor watchdog investigating the Church of Scientology after a Radio-Canada report on... This is funny. They call it low salaries. I think less than $2 an hour is a low salary.
Don't they pay them like pennies an hour to like clean their facilities and things like that?
Yeah, it's... Okay, this one Church of Scientology staffer in Quebec City earned $70 for nearly 39 hours of work, and this is on a pay stub. But the Church of Scientology says they don't have any staff. They're religious volunteers. Or what was it? What was the term they used? Religious... religious workers. And they... there was a labor lawyer who was asked about that, and he was like, "Yeah, there's no such thing. if you've got a pay stub, you're an employee."
Good.
That's it. Canada Revenue Agency says you're an employee, and you cannot earn less than less than $2. When minimum wage is over $11 an hour. So there's going to be a big investigation, and we'll see what happens. They don't even need a complaint. The government body, which oversees labor relations and that kind of thing, in terms of pay equity, is just going to go in there and ransack them. It's going to be awesome. Great way to go, Radio Canada, as they found this. It's crazy. It's slave labor.
Yeah.
I guess that's it for that one.
And they believe they can get away with that because they call it religious. Well, it's
freedom of religion. Freedom of religion is under attack. My freedom of religion or my freedom to impose my religion on others is being infringed.
I can't enslave others in the name of my religion.
Yeah. It's in the Bible, eh? Wow. Slavery is fine.
Well, yeah, what the fuck? They have slaves.
Well, yeah, I mean, we knew this from other past, you know, people who have left the church, and that's, well, I shouldn't say past, but people who have left the church, whatever, cult, I don't know. They're all the same to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is exploitation of labor and packing them into not the best conditions in terms of their living facilities and stuff like that, and bathroom facilities and access to food and this kind of thing, you know.
If you're a Scientologist, you have to pay a lot for their materials and stuff. So what do they do with all that money?
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the children that kind of grow up into it as well, too, right?
Yeah.
And they don't know any different, and they're being totally exploited.
Too.
Terrible.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they get so much money as part of it. You know, they exploit the, people.
Mm-hmm.
Top to bottom, they fleece them for everything they own, and yeah, they have an immense amount of money. Scientology has an immense amount of money.
Sorry,
no,
yeah, if you're indoctrinated, they do things like put you up to that whatever the thing is that they've got to.
The E meter.
Attain those. Well, yeah, there's levels too. You have to attain levels. Fate and you levels. Have to pay for materials and.
Yeah, but they also say, you know, they'll say questions like, what would you do if you were a, you know, pedophiliac or something like that, right? And people would, you know, like, just questions like that, leading in, you know, obviously as part of a supposedly broader, psychological evaluation or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so people will say things, and then they've got that on tape, and it could be so easily misconstrued out of context that this now becomes a threat, so you don't dare leave the church. And so, like, the tactics they use are just so sinister.
Oh, yeah. It's essentially, you know, basically what the Catholic Church has done for hundreds of years, right? That's what confession
is all
about.
But even more sinister. But at least confession doesn't get recorded, I suppose.
No, it doesn't need to be. Because the church knows.
Yeah, I guess.
But they, you know, like...
Creepy.
Apparently they have a lot.
You know, I never had to deal with that growing up. Like being part of a church community where, you know, people would throw you under the bus and they knew every detail of your life and your family's life and shit like that. It just occurred to me how fortunate I am. Because I'm sure that, you know, the churchgoers had their own internal issues within the organization of the church, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look at Nathan Phelps.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking even moderates, like, you know.
Well, I just put the phone number up. People, you can call us at 1-587-288-1067.
Oh my god, Shane, where's Shane?
I don't know where Shane is. Shane, you kind of lost him. I will continue to try and add him to the call. I don't know where he's gotten to. But
Vincent should call in because he said, how about talking about the guy that lost out of a huge opportunity of a lifetime? Oh, yeah, I know this one. Due to his ex-girlfriend pretending to be him and telling the studio that he wasn't interested, he lost out on a huge opportunity. I can't remember the exact, how to even search it, but that did cross my radar, too.
Well, and Vince, it's calling, fraud.
Yeah. Vincent, we'd really appreciate it if you call in. I know last week you said you didn't think you had much to talk about, but I beg to differ. Give us a call.
No, we still can't get Shane back in. Okay.
Oh, okay, crap.
Anyway, let's go to Lindsay Shepherd, who I guess this would be the let's just play that. Let's go with this.
The regressive left files.
Regressive Left Files. Yes. Lindsay Shepherd, who is now suing Wilfrid Laurier University, claiming that attacks have rendered her unemployable in academia. I mean, this is, she's getting a lot of flack from her professors. Now, you remember Lindsay Shepherd was intimidated, literally intimidated. I mean, it was the most egregiously... anti-human relations behavior on part of the university.
Well, bullying. It was absolutely
Totally bullying. Yeah. Yeah. And the university apologized for the wrong reasons. They didn't understand why they should be apologizing. I mean, they apologized because, well, you didn't violate this diversity code. And it was a terrible, yeah, it was just something. If you listen to it, it was such a bullying and threatening conversation. Well, not conversation. It was problematic.
Confrontation, interrogation.
Yeah, it was an
interrogation. She was brought to bloody tears. Chamber. You know.
So she showed that video with Jordan Peterson discussing with a guy named Brian Matei, who is a gender diversity person in university somewhere. I think University of Toronto. And he was saying that Jordan Peterson was committing violence because he wasn't going to use I don't even know what gender pronouns. There's so many of them, but you know, Jordan Peterson wasn't going to use these made up words, and that's doing violence. I mean, seriously, that was the guy's argument. Anyway, so she is claiming harassment, intentional infliction of nervous shock, negligence, and constructive dismissal, and. She says that her lawyer actually says that the attacks on her have rendered her unemployable in academia. That she did have an offer from GADSAD, which I think she should take.
Oh, yeah, that would be an awesome opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would.
And if I might interrupt again, yeah. We have a friend named Karar LS4 who just joined us. And I would, if it's possible, love to bring him in maybe a little bit later on Skype, maybe if he's willing and able, because he's had some issues on Facebook and he's a very interesting man. So hopefully, if he's able to do so, he'll join us a little bit later or whenever.
All right. Okay. The statement of claim, which seeks $3.6 million Canadian. So. Not quite as much as in an American court. It names the three people who were her inquisitors, a guy named Rambukana. Pimlott was the other professor, and then there was Joel, who was the diversity officer for Laurier University. And it also names the university because they were complicit. And we'll see how that goes. I will try one more time to get Shane back in. I'm trying, Shane. Anyway. Anything on that?
I've been distracted because I'm in the chat window, but if Vincent wants to join us on Skype too. I want to invite him to do that.
Well, we got a lot. We got a long ways to go. We're nowhere near.
Yeah,
done.
We do.
So I just don't see it.
You know, we're having topics suggested. Hang on, I'm gonna put this in the chat link to us so that we can discuss what Vincent has suggested here. But carry on. And I'm sorry for having my mind in multiple places.
All right. Okay. We're going to go. Okay, we got to go to Catholic Watch now because.
It's now time for the Legion of Reason's Catholic Watch.
We're in Catholic Watch and we have Australian Bishop. Wait a minute. So Australia has passed a law which requires priests who learn of child abuse in the confessional to report said abuse to police. And this Australian bishop, what is his name? Archbishop Christopher Prowse of Canberra and Goulburn or is it Galburn? I don't know how to pronounce that one. And he was saying that priests are bound by a sacred vow to maintain the seal of confession. Without that vow, who would be willing to unburden themselves of their sins? Seriously, that's what he said. I kind of agree with him on this. He said, sadly, breaking the seal of confession won't prevent abuse and it won't help our ongoing efforts to improve. This is the part I get. I don't believe our ongoing efforts to improve the safety of children in Catholic institutions. You know how you keep yourself, your kids safe from Catholic institutions? Don't take them to Catholic institutions. It's that simple.
And if you're letting people get away with crimes with confession with no consequences, how the hell are you helping anyone?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to stop what they're doing. Like.
No, they aren't. And it's.
I forgive you. Okay, I'll go do it again and I get forgiven again. I mean. Yeah.
You know, doctors are required to, if they suspect abuse, notify police.
Yeah.
I don't see a problem here. I don't see a, you know, I don't mind that you know, priests would be required to do this. A lawyer can't talk about past abuse, but if a defense lawyer or somebody's lawyer who's an abuser, if they think it's ongoing, I do think they have to. I'm not sure on this. Some lawyer might be able to comment on this, but if it's ongoing, I think that yes, they do have to. Certainly for any future crime, they do have to. That is not covered under attorney-client privilege. No, knowledge of future crime has to be reported. And I'm not really crying the blues too hard for these people. Of course, I already think that confession is ridiculous. It's basically getting off scot-free, and you know, like, oh, I'm not guilty anymore. I've been forgiven by a fictitious thing, deity, overarching sky daddy. And, you know, that's not justice. That's not justice. Sorry. You don't get
to... Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. But of course, you know, if priests are required to report that sort of activity, people would just stop confessing that stuff.
Yeah, so, that's what he was saying. That's what they're saying later on, but if you don't have to, you know, it doesn't have to be part
it's
of
no
confession.
Different,
if you
then.
If you come across it, you report it. Yeah, it's no different than what they did with hiding.
How is it different confessing versus not confessing? There's still actual no consequences. There's no reparations to the
confession
victim.
Is
like
sacred.
You just give what they won't get their get out of jail free card now, which they weren't getting anyway.
Yeah. I'm not crying too hard for them. I do think that people will step. Oops, that's the wrong thing. That is good news, actually, that you know, this law is enacted and it takes place, where it begins to take effect next March, end of next March. I don't know why that long.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, there's nothing to set up or anything. I mean, you just have to report it to the police. But the thing is, Catholic bishops have had a history of interfering with the law. I mean, just watch Spotlight, and that was exactly what happened. That was Archbishop Dolan, I think his name was. He kept, kept things quiet for decades.
And how did that help?
Yeah, it didn't. It made things
much worse. Who did that help? Who did that help? The criminal.
Helped the church.
Thanks.
Helped the church. And then they would move them around. They even had the name of a name for that. It was called the system. And it moved.
Sick.
They moved predatory priests around, so. Basically,
keep doing it.
Priests had fresh hunting grounds, and the parishioners were completely unsuspecting. and they would hush the
nice.
Parents of the victims. Yeah, they the Catholic Church had a lot of power, especially in places like Boston or New York. It's yeah, but yet blasphemy is a greater sin for some reason. But anyway, a South Australian Catholic Church, or the South Australian Catholic Church, says that they will not adhere to a change in the law, so that they won't.
We'll just keep letting people get away with crimes. Thanks.
Yeah. So they figure that they can keep hearing confessions and not have any legal repercussions. Well, think again, buddy. Politicians here. Bishop Greg O'Kelly told ABC Radio in Adelaide on Friday, "Politicians can change the law, but we can't change the nature of the confessional, which is a sacred encounter between a penitent and someone seeking forgiveness, and a priest representing Christ. It doesn't affect us.
Wow. We're above the law. Great.
Well, they have their own law. It's canon law, and they figure
how's that different from Sharia then, bunch of."
Well, Sharia would apply to everybody. Canon law applies to priests, and they think it actually supersedes any state law.
Yeah.
Right. They really should get rid, be forced to get rid of canon law. This whole thing that canon law is God's law, and so is not subject to man's law. Well, teach them that that's not true. And start putting some of these bishops in jail. Well, we'll see what happens. We have no idea what happened with Cardinal Pell and his upcoming trial, whether the gag order ever was in place. I assume that since we haven't heard either way that there is a gag order now, and I so disagree with that. It's in the public interest to have a public trial here in Australia, and I hope that, I don't know, maybe somebody can correct me in Australia. Anyway, the Pope equates abortion with Nazi crimes. Okay, here we go.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
This guy's just...
If you thought this guy was a different pope, think again.
This is insane.
This is in Vatican City. Pope Francis denounced abortion on Saturday as the white glove equivalent of the Nazi-era eugenics program. Are you kidding me? How does he figure that?
Well, and how... I just wonder how Holocaust survivors, the few that we have left... families feel about that kind of comparison.
That's utterly nonsense.
Yeah.
It's not about eugenics.
I don't give a, my offense is my own fucking problem kind of thing, but I'm kind of offended by that one, to compare those kinds of comparisons to the Holocaust. And that includes the discourse around the, camps in the U.S., the refugee camps in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right? Where they're separating children from adults because...
Well, they were, they're not anymore.
Yeah. They
still are.
Are they?
Well, I don't know. If you don't separate the children and you've been brought in by somebody that's sketchy and not your family, maybe for the purpose of sex... trafficking or something like that.
Which is rare, extremely rare, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you look at these kinds of camps, refugee camps, where rapes and all that kind of stuff do go on. You don't want children in that kind of a context. If, among the people that are, crossing the border, probably are some criminals who have been, like the little girl whose iconic image was, presented, and... she'd essentially, the mother of that little girl had essentially hired somebody to, maybe I'm wrong about that, but you know what I'm talking about.
She was keeping her from her father, basically.
Yeah.
They're going to, They're going to start detaining them. It used to be they would put ankle bracelets on people. They didn't have refugee camps. And then they would send them on their way until the court date. Now they're just going to detain all the families together in institutions. So what Trump is doing is absolutely absurd. And he's changed everything.
Well, I don't know if all of a sudden you have, you know, somebody showing up at the border that's got a van and there's a mixed group of people in it, including some children, and those children don't seem to be showing obvious signs of attachment to the people that they're with, then
that happens rare. That is extremely rare. Yeah. And to punish all families for...
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I am playing devil's advocate here for sure. And, you know, again, I'm sure I've mentioned this before, but my Canadian uncle and his Mexican wife were illegals in California for a while until Reagan and amnesty. So don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to, dismiss any bad behavior.
And, address those letters to Christine Shelska.
Well, hey, you know what? The same policies apply to us. If we wanted to, you know, something would happen and we had, you know, as Canadians tried to get down there, it would be the same for us. So
I mean, people went through Ellis Island as immigrants. They were documented as they came in.
The laws changed in 1965.
Yeah.
Undocumented immigrants became illegal. So if you don't come to the border with papers already in hand, and how the hell are you going to do that when you're fleeing a frickin' war? Oh, I'll just stop at this computer on the way and get my papers. Really?
Well, yeah, and now we have to take into account the broader global community and the people that are trying to escape, you know, situations where they're being religiously persecuted, you know, Bangladeshi bloggers are being, you know, we want to obviously offer those people an opportunity to come here, but there are going to be people who slip through the cracks. And, you know, I can understand... Oh God, I'm saying super unpopular shit here, but I can understand like the broader picture too, where you don't want to be bringing in
people. If they cannot confirm the identity of people, they don't bring them in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but that's just, you know, people can still.
This is a modern world. There's a way to prove your identity usually, and you can't do it.
Look, if you're from a predominantly Muslim country, and you're trying to escape that country, and it's on your birth certificate that you're a Muslim, and actually you're an atheist, you dare not try to change that, right? So we're probably rejecting a lot of people who really do need, asylum for religious persecution and that kind of thing, right? So, and then you try to take the case of people who are coming here for different reasons from, you know, South America and that kind of thing, right? And like, how do you make a consistent, which I also think obviously are victims of possibly even, you know, American policy, right? But how do you apply that whole thing fairly, right? Do you see what I'm saying?
Because it wasn't broken. They didn't need to fix it. It wasn't broken.
Well, there's that too. But then again too, then we have to, you know, face the fact that Obama deported a bunch of people too. So I don't think
he committed crimes. You can deport people for committing crimes.
Trying to cross the border illegally is a crime.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's undocumented.
Of course it is.
The Democrats treated them differently. The Democrats, if you came undocumented, you can prove your identity. These are your kids. You weren't treated like a criminal. You weren't thrown in frickin' jail. Now they are. Before, they'd stick little ankle bracelets on them, send them on the way, come to court, prove who you are, get your papers. Now it's, you're all going to frickin' jail.
We do that here, too. We do the same thing here, too. We do separate families. You know, in extreme circumstances, but now we're just being hypocritical.
Kids in a month.
Well, no, not at that level, but we do it. It's
not to that extent, maybe one or two a year. Like,
no, I just saw something recently and I wish I could remember, but again, I didn't think to prepare for this, but it's more than that. And it's unfortunate, but it's the reality here too. And it was the reality before Trump. And,
One or two a year. Obama's administration, if they couldn't prove those were the parents and they wanted to make sure they weren't trafficking kids, it was one every 6 months. One case every, it wasn't 2,000 kids in a month.
I'm talking more broadly about immigration in general and how many people try to cross the borders, both in Canada and the U.S., that shouldn't. And you know, it's a stringent process of asylum for both countries. And, you know, obviously, I am not anti-immigration by any means whatsoever. Like I said, you know, my family and the fact that there are people in the Middle East.
Mostly what they bring into this country is women and children and husbands.
I know
that. They will more aptly detain guys
that are single. That's because we have good, you know, regulations. And yeah, that's shitty that some guys will be admitted that probably deserve a chance to come here and create a life for themselves. Who
if
are
they can
infecting,
show that they're going to get killed by going
oh
back
my
home,
goodness. Oh
and
my
they're
goodness,
not Lila. A terrorist?
There are so many people in this world who could very easily show that they're going to be killed, and we still can't accept them because there's that many, right? We're talking about Middle Eastern countries
we
here.
We don't
and how
throw
to,
them in
to,
jail. We send them home.
Well, that would be the better alternative. Well, it depends. Like, again, if we're talking about people from the Middle East or even from South America, they're certain to go back to death, right?
We don't.
So we have to be kind of consistent in applying, you know.
Okay, you got to get the numbers here and you got to get the process here. This doesn't jive.
Okay.
Well, this is, okay.
But
way far
just,
afield, yeah. guys. Way far
yeah,
afield.
Yeah, people from Mexico and South America and all that
really
are trying to get asylum.
But this has nothing to
there
do with
there are a
the
lot point. Of people from the Middle East that would love to come to Canada and the U.S. who get declined on a
and
very
if they
regular
land on our doorstep.
Right? Well, then they
if
can.
They land on our doorstep. What happens?
Then we grant them, what is it, refugee status, and then they apply for asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas Americans, no they throw them in jail.
Well, like, but when you're granted refugee status here, it's not necessarily the case that you're not going to be put into a detention sort of situation, right? Well, paperwork is being processed and you're being checked out and that kind of
thing. You're not labeled a criminal here and stuck in a jail cell. They're doing
no,
that.
No, but
in
if
the
your
States.
Past documentation shows that you're a criminal, you're out of here,
well,
right?
Duh.
Yeah. And I'm sure that some people that
but
try to cross the border
coming to Canada.
You know, it's not like the crime that's going on in these countries are, you know, is going to be kind of limited within the borders of the countries that they're coming from. You know, they're going to try and traffic people. They're going to try and smuggle drugs, and you know,
not to
most
the degree
people
that
want to come. Most people that want to come to our countries want to make a better life for themselves. And I completely and utterly support that. But I think we also need to be pretty vigilant in not letting in criminal elements.
We
and
are.
Again, I'm appealing to the
we
broader
are.
Context. We are because they slip through the cracks. But for the most part, we've got a pretty stringent immigration policy.
Yeah, we don't throw people in jail and call them criminals. Where Trump is doing that. The Democrats... We're processing them by putting ankle bracelets on them, telling them to come to this court date so they could go stay with their family. If they had family in the States, they could go stay with them. Not no more. Not now.
Yeah.
Not this year.
Yeah.
Huh. And we don't do that crap here in Canada.
I think other countries in the world do that crap. And, I think a lot of people are just so anti-Trump that they're willing to bring that up as an issue when it's been an issue for a very long time, right? And that's not to say that it's right or anything like that.
Which countries are these? Which countries are labeling these people as criminals and throwing them in jail? Just for crossing the border.
look at Europe, right?
They have open borders. They're going to have someone coming from Belgium to France and throw them in jail.
No, but they could have somebody coming from a Middle Eastern country into those countries, and they're going to say, no, we're not going to accept
okay,
you.
Okay, so which country...
This happens all over the world.
Which country in Europe labels them as a criminal for crossing the border and throws them in jail with their kids?
Well, regardless of whether criminals or not, Sometimes you're just not allowed to cross the border at all. You get sent back immediately.
Yeah, we deport people.
That's good. Then you're not getting labeled as a criminal and stuck in jail.
we want to bring in the people that aren't criminals, and we want to have a process to determine who is and who isn't. And which, how do you be consistent on that in a global context?
Canada can do that without throwing them in jail. Trump's just throwing them all in jail. This was not the way it was a year ago.
Yeah, fair enough, but we do it here too.
Not to that degree.
Enough.
In fact, I'm going to step away.
Enough. I'm stopping this now because we are so far afield from where we were.
Let's go talk. This has nothing
to do with the Pope.
Blast me.
Okay. This has nothing to do with the Pope. And we're talking about the Pope. Okay. Now let's recap. Because I've forgotten what the hell we're talking about. All right. Pope Francis denounced abortion on Saturday as the white glove equivalent of the Nazi era eugenics program and urged families to accept the children that God gives them.
They say that in the Catholic school here too, you know.
Oh yeah. Okay. He said this. Last century, the whole world was scandalized by what the Nazis did to purify the race. Today, we do the same thing, but with white gloves.
Wow.
I don't know how he figures that. I mean, this is...
That is the worst false equivalence I've heard in, years.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad.
So he's basically saying women are Nazis if they have an abortion?
Yeah, I don't know how it purifies the race, because it's not like you know.
Aren't you doing the opposite?
Yeah, it's kind of silly. I do think that abortion is used in certain cultures that value...
India,
boys versus girls, and I think that's wrong. But that's not the problem. The problem isn't with abortion there. The problem is cultural valuations of gender that are different, and that's the problem that has to be fixed, not abortion. This is a completely ridiculous thing for him to say. But that is followed on the heels by the Irish Prime Minister. What the heck is his name again? I'll find it in here somewhere. The Irish Prime Minister Leo Varadkar, and he has said, remember with what was her name? Savita Halappanavar, who died because she was denied a termination of a fetus that was completely unviable.
Ectopic. It was going to kill her, and it did.
Yeah. And they because they were, the doctors feared repercussions from the law, they didn't provide, or they didn't terminate the fetus. It was too late. And she died. She was 31 years old, and that was in 2012. So there was a big push in Ireland to repeal, I believe it's the 8th amendment to the Constitution, which outlawed, which is funny, the thing is that it outlawed abortion, except in circumstances where the mother's life was threatened. Well, obviously, that was the case. I mean, the woman died. Her life was definitely threatened, and it still didn't help her. So that created a push to have a referendum. The referendum, which was should we repeal that amendment, and the referendum passed, and it has been repealed, and now the Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, has vowed that even Catholic hospitals will be required to provide abortion services. And this is going to be interesting. Just contrast that with Justin Trudeau. Now, Catholic institutions have vowed not to... perform or provide services for assisted aid in dying in their institutions, despite the fact that they are publicly funded. And that's, I have yet, he has never addressed the problem, which is just a huge elephant in the room.
Yeah.
He's been very disappointing.
Press him on that.
Yeah. It's very disappointing because guess where most of the palliative care beds are?
He's been distracted by the marijuana stuff.
No, he's been distracting us with the marijuana stuff. So he doesn't have to address it. The courts are going to address it. He's going to be forced to deal with this at some point. I mean, there are a couple of cases. Julie Lamb case. That's nothing to do with Catholic institutions. But I think that it's going to be two trains on the same track aimed at each other. One side's going to be the Catholic Church, the other's going to be the Supreme Court. And the Catholic Church is a toy train. they're going to get squashed. So that's the thing I wanted to say about this, because this guy has a spine. This is something that's been very disappointing about Justin Trudeau. He does not have a spine when it comes to this. And this guy is flat out. Yeah. If they get any public money, they're required to perform abortion services. Congratulations. I love it. So, yeah, it's... I'd like to see some action on this kind of thing. I don't even know why there's Catholic hospitals anymore.
Because there's Catholic schools, so why not?
Yeah, it's all historical anachronisms. They're totally out of date. I mean, they don't... It's like...
Is it a provincial or federal thing once it passes? Like... How much power do the provinces have over these Catholic hospitals versus
quite a bit, because...
So is it the provinces that are going to have to step up and tell them F off, or will it have to be the feds?
I think it'll be both.
I hope it's both.
Because...
Well, except wherever there's a conservative government, they're not going to frickin' do anything.
Let's see, that's not necessarily true, because in Saskatchewan, not that long ago, but 7 years ago, I've talked about this before in Humboldt. At the time, Humboldt had the public hospital for the region, but it was also the Catholic hospital. And the doctors refused to do tubal ligation on a woman. She had to go to another health region to have the procedure done. And afterwards, she took the Humboldt Hospital to the Human Rights Commission. She won.
Good.
And the Saskatchewan government said, are you going to do this now? And the hospital said, nope.
And yeah, but who was in government at the time?
Conservatives. Well, they're not conservatives.
I don't know. They haven't been like it.
No, they've been in there for quite a while. This was not NDP. This was is Saskatchewan
years?
Property.
I don't know.
Saskatchewan. Oh, Brad Wall's been in there for a long time. Long time. Saskatchewan Party has been in power there for about 12 years, I think. But it was the Saskatchewan Party that said, so you're not going to do it? Okay, you're not a Catholic hospital anymore. Good. And that was it.
I'm really surprised at Wall for that.
Yeah. I actually was too. They have to comply because they knew the court was going to force their hand anyway, so they had to do
it. Yeah, it probably would have gone to the feds then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, feds, see, in Canada, the provinces administer health care.
Yeah.
But the overarching legislation is federal. And, how much money that each province gets from the federal government for health care. That's covered by the feds, but how it's used is up to the provinces. That's the same thing for education. Education is provincially administered, but there's an overarching Education Act. It's kind of, I don't know, but eventually...
It's supposed to be a check and balance of some sort.
I don't, well, the idea is that the provinces know where they need to allocate resources better than the federal government does. That's kind of the idea.
But they can't overstep, or the feds will say, hey, that hospital now.
Oh, yeah. If they violate, for instance, the Canada Health Act, yeah, they can get in a lot of trouble. For instance, yeah, marriage is, again, administered by provinces, but the overarching Marriage Act is federal.
Yeah. And it's been legal since 2005.
Yeah. So once they made same-sex marriage legal, that was it. All the provinces at once, boom, they have to comply. And that's probably what's going to have to happen here. The feds, the health minister, or the attorney general will have to say, yeah, you either provide medical assistance in dying as part of your mandate, or we're pulling your funding. That's it. That's what I would like to see. I don't think I thought we'd have seen it a long time ago, but we haven't, and it's one of the major disappointments of Justin Trudeau. And there's a few others, like getting rid of first past the post election in elections, so that there's proportional representation, which we don't have now. They've shelved it.
Chickened out and ran away.
They did. They could have shown some leadership. They didn't. Yeah, that was one of the major platforms that they campaigned on, and they completely bungled it. So we're stuck with the same old system. Of course, it's not really a surprise, but because how did this government get here? Well, first past the post. That's what got him here. So why would you get rid of the goose that laid you the golden egg? Right? It's not in their best interest to get rid of the system that got them elected.
And the Conservatives, I don't think they would do it either.
Oh no, they're not a chance. Not a chance. Yeah. They weren't. It wasn't even on their platform. So
we're all screwed either way. So.
And there's another. Let's go to this first.
Can we address the comments that are being?
Sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's
go
get back ahead. On track with the Pope.
Okay.
We're coming back to the Pope, by the way.
So Lewis, one of our watchers, why don't you guys get off your ass and do something instead of complaining? Three viewers. Yes, you are changing the world with your uneducated opinions. Look what happens in the States. It's their problem, not Canada's. Right?
I don't get it. What?
I think he's being a little critical of our discussion on immigration.
So we can just shut up and go away and not talk about it.
Stop listening.
Go do something.
Randy already shut us
down. We're going to stop talking about it right now. Go do something right now.
Well, I mean, if I guess if you
check if we don't talk about it, how will we know what to do about it?
Well, and in terms of getting off our ass and doing something, I think if you maybe googled our names, you might find that we actually get off.
Yeah, I'm very
particularly you, Christine. Yeah,
yeah. I'm about door knocking. I'm about giving money. I actually get up off my ass and bitch to the people who might do something about it, and I try to get people elected who will do something about it.
Yeah. Matt has said, didn't the Pope comment on Trump? I don't know, to be honest.
Pelogia on jailing the kids, yeah.
Yeah. Pelogia has joined us and said that, Randy, you're a steely-eyed falsetto man. And that, I know, is because we were at the
awesome! Good job!
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, Randy, thank you, Paul. Okay.
And did a freaking amazing job of bloody hell.
Yeah, it was karaoke night.
Bohemian Rhapsody and a pretty damn good attempt at
I Will Survive.
Yeah.
Gloria Gaynor.
Yeah.
And I also did Like a Virgin.
Oh, did you? Why?
You missed that.
Awesome.
I did Like a Virgin. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been. I should have stopped being politically active. I should have stopped getting off my ass and watched you sing.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it because we've never been in a situation where there's been karaoke, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? I bet Randy can freaking well sing. And sure as shit, you can. Wow.
Yeah, my voice gave out.
Damn it.
Well, yeah. But, you know, on the other hand, it's it's freaking, you know, allergy season and stuff like that. So I think that's, and you'd already, you know, fucking amazed everybody. So
it was fun. It was a fun night. It was fun.
And I missed it by getting off my ass and being an activist.
There you go.
Yeah.
God damn it. I should have just, you know, just talked about.
Shut the fuck up.
And stop talking about stuff and stop knocking on doors and stop supporting the people I want to get empowered to do the things I want them to do. And should have just come and watched Randy sing.
Well, I didn't know he was going to sing.
I didn't know it was going to be karaoke. So,
Sam's joined us too. I think Vincent had to leave because he's not feeling very well. So that's our update on the chat.
Okay. Yeah. So, and you know, it's important that people are aware of these things. You know, most people don't follow the Catholic news agency like I do. You know, I keep in touch with all this stuff and what they're up to, and I'm disseminating information first of all, and that's important right there. Anyway, blasphemy is the gravest sin, Pope Francis says.
But not abortion. That's just Nazism.
Yeah, it's or priestly pedophilia.
Yeah. I think I've kind of missed this one, but he's off. You know, he said, you know, like if you're an atheist, God still loves you, blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, that's just passive-aggressive behavior.
Yeah, doublespeak.
You know, like, it's, yeah, whatever. You know, just water off a duck's back. blasphemy, the sin against the Holy Spirit, is the only unpardonable sin, so Jesus says, because it starts from a closure of the heart to the mercy of God acting in Jesus. What a weird salad.
Oh, God, that's funny.
So blasphemy, saying his God is a douchebag, for instance, that's worse than priestly pedophilia. That's just astounds me. I mean, just astounds me.
But now your heart's like black or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's closed to the Holy Spirit. It's closed. Yep. I have closed that door. Damn right I have.
Oh my God.
Wow. Paul says blasphemy is the worst sin, Matthew 12:31, and Sam, who's joined us as well, says no pardon, not even for Trump. So the comments are coming in now and people are actually watching
us. I'll have to fix the audio issues so you get people to phone, but yeah.
We could bring either of them if they want to join us.
We're gonna get this done. I gotta go to bed.
In fact, I'm gonna be back in just a moment.
Gotta get off my ass. Sure.
So this is the Pope. He's at it again, saying stupid things. I mean, it's just, you know, there is no such thing as sin from an atheist point of view. It just doesn't exist. I mean, yeah, there's right and wrong and varying degrees, and some of these things are very gray. And, you know, it's not, you know, being moral is not checking off a list of commandments. It's thinking about the effects your actions have on others, as well as the reasons for why you act in a certain manner. It's, you know, consequentialism gets you most of the way, and the deontology, yeah, there's a bit of that in there. Getting to the right answer to a problem for the wrong reasons can be pretty bad. Anyway, I wanted to talk about Spain's new atheist prime minister. This is kind of cool.
Yay. The church is so mad.
this is the Catholic Herald. And they are not happy. Okay, Pedro Sanchez has adopted an aggressively secular agenda, not just a secular agenda, but an aggressively secular agenda. And what are the bad things that he's doing? Sanchez broke with tradition by declining to have a Bible or a crucifix present when taking his oath before King Philippe, who is a very religious man, by the way. Undeterred, the Bishops' Conference President, Cardinal Ricardo Blasquez, wished him God's help in upholding unity, prosperity, and social cohesion and reiterated the church's readiness to collaborate sincerely, whatever that means. I'm thinking he was probably like, yeah, whatever, dudes. He's trying to take away religious symbols in what are secular institutions. The new foreign minister for Spain, Josep Borrell, plans to re-examine Spain's 1979 treaty with the Holy See. In his first interview, he declared that the government must, quote, take the state's secularity seriously, unquote.
Gasp.
Where's the problem? You know, like,
oh my God.
Yet there are hints of trouble ahead. Sanchez, a self-declared atheist, oh no, has campaigned against state funding for church activities and school religion and for the removal of religious symbols from public institutions.
So mean.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Just like, awful.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to know this guy. I want to have a beer with him. I want to interview him on the podcast.
So, yeah, that's pretty gutsy to stand up.
He's a 46-year-old economics professor, and he was sworn in after an unprecedented censure motion over alleged corruption brought down the center-right Mariano Rajoy. Or I guess it would be Rajoy.
The one that liked the church.
Yeah, center right.
The one that liked the church got taken down.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what he does, and you know, maybe you know, most people in Spain don't go to church, but yeah, we'll see what he does. That'll be really interesting. Good for him.
Well, for the church's sake, it's too bad that the corrupt one got taken down. That would have left him alone.
Yeah. It's good to see that secularity is, if that is that even a word? Secularity?
Secularism.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Chris said.
Yeah. Okay, secularism. Secularity. Yeah. Secularism.
No need to be an atheist to be a secularist.
You can
be,
That's true.
Religious. Well, absolutely. And religious people who respect that fact realize that supports them too, their religion too, right? Mm-hmm. So who do you want? Do you want the happy hippie Jesus, or do you want the God hates fags Jesus kind of thing, right? Like, which of your gods are, you know, even within the Christian world, right? We don't want a theocracy. Nobody wants a theocracy here, unless you're batshit fucking crazy.
No, you're
right. And most people here are pretty moderate.
What's at least, that vice president in the U.S.?
God.
No, it's not God.
Yeah, but imagine if you tried to, campaign here in Canada, how quickly that would have, like, just gone away.
It's too bad that didn't happen in the States.
Yeah, say that.
What the hell?
You know, like, in the States, you're almost expected to, identify as a Christian or whatever kind of thing. Whereas here, if you do that shit, you're going to be like, okay, dude, you're not going to represent all of us, and so you quickly get shut down.
We'll see what happens with Jason Kenney.
I guess so, but I'm even thinking, like, there's that guy who ran for mayor. What's his name? Harry Leather, as I like to call him.
Yeah, I remember that guy.
No, he didn't. Spewing his religious shit, and it's just like,
but wasn't that Calgary?
Jesus. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, guess what? You do that in Redo, you'll get elected.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway,
but I think, in general, as Canadians, like, if you look across the country, we don't like to see people spewing their religious shit.
Yeah, I think that's going to change. Well, I think I'm afraid it's going to change because,
Brad Wall.
That's a prime example right there. The guy that uses public money for his religious Christmas messages.
Yeah, but that doesn't go without criticism.
He doesn't care. From all around. And he gets elected.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah. But still,
You got to get out of your bubble. You have a beautiful bubble in Calgary.
I do.
It's privilege.
Even my conservative friends are, yeah, Bernie Sanders should have been, you know. Yeah, that, you
well,
know.
Okay. Because they're Canadian, you know, conservative
conservatives and not religious conservatives, right? No,
there's a difference between...
Shut up. I'm going to shut up.
Anyway.
No more politics.
Although Vincent says that Jason Kenney is a boob. Yeah, so... Yeah. I'll pass.
Yeah, he's a douchebag.
There's lots of Jason Kenney stickers on cars around here, I'll tell you.
Wow.
Yeah, but I don't know if I'm going to be in his riding or not. I don't know. I don't know where he's running. He was when he was a federal MP, he ran in the neighboring to the south of me, the riding there. And Harper was my riding. Blech. And, you know, what? I was shocked when, in the last provincial election, my riding went to the NDP. I couldn't believe it. I was like,
well,
wow.
So was I.
That was,
oh, my God. I was like,
I'm
what
in a very conservative neighborhood. Yeah. Well, the riding here had Hinman.
That was horrible,
MLA.
Yeah.
He was a terrible MLA.
But the people here, the conservatives here, were just, like, they were just, you know, they weren't Hinmans, and they weren't, but they still did not get elected last time. I am shocked by this. Like, you have no idea in Red Deer.
Well, and certainly nobody was expecting the NDP landslide.
Yeah. No, that was weird.
Yeah, that was like...
It was awesome, but it was weird.
Yeah, there have been a couple of elections, both provincially and federally, like that, where you just didn't see it coming. It was like, whoa.
But of course, Sylvan Lake, they got the Wild Rose guy.
The sexual assault guy.
And he is now getting charged with sexually blah, blah, with a minor. So they're having a by-election now because that was such a wonderful person to elect.
Yeah. You see, I don't understand the conservative mind. There's no crime that can be committed where your guy can't be okay. You know, it's this...
Well, it's a holdout from old values. Like, I think about my grandparents' generation and how typically you'd be, I don't know, 17, 18 years old, and you'd be married to somebody that was in their 30s who had, you know, established themselves and blah, 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 in a rural community, a farming community, and that kind of thing, right? So, obviously, there was probably some kind of interest happening before they hit 17 or 16, and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
So it's creepy and disturbing, but at one time that was the norm. For a lot of, you know, like, especially rural communities, it's how my grandparents essentially got together, you know, in a, I guess, a German community. And
grade school?
Yeah. No, I don't know about grade school, but certainly there were, you know, community dances pertaining to whatever groups they were involved in a smaller community. So, I guess, pretty much, yeah. Religious revivals? I don't know.
Yeah, we've had those here. Yeah. I suppose.
Well, I think
we still have them.
My grandparents, I think, met in Manitoba or Saskatchewan. But yeah, I mean, that was in the day, that was normal for an older man in his 30s that had been established, you know, that was established financially and blah, 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 could offer the younger bride security, right? Which, you know, to our current sensibilities sounds kind of creepy and disturbing, but, you know.
Well, if in she's going to bear children.
Well, yeah, in that generation, it's not uncommon for, you know, there to be a 10, 15-year gap in age and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Got to have the kids fed.
And I'm not defending it, obviously, but, you know.
That's the way things were.
Yeah. So they're just behind the... ethical eight ball, I suppose, in terms of our, you know, current understanding of what constitutes, you know, taking advantage of children and this kind of thing. Hey,
yeah,
and those were just norms back in the day, and it would have seemed, as the word implies, normal to those communities, you know. So yeah, but again, you know, that might be something that might go okay in a rural community where that tradition has kind of been established, but not so much in, you know, the more secular region, shall we say.
Right? Progressive.
What's up?
Progressive, too. Progressive, well, secular.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're just two generations behind our cultural norms. And I shouldn't say just. They are two generations at least behind our cultural norms. And it's you know, we've evolved and moved on and want to protect women's rights in a different way, right? You know, yeah. Well,
culturally adapted.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I think most of us would raise an eyebrow if some 35-year-old guy was, you know, marrying a 17-year-old girl. Whereas, you know, like I said, two generations ago in rural areas, that was
normal.
What, 30-something guy marrying a 17-year-old?
Yeah, it'd be normal.
In Red Deer?
Especially
well, not right now. Back, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Not.
Well,
not
like you said, there's still some communities that probably that would be fine, right? Yeah. Whereas,
like,
you know,
if
my
British
daughter. Well, no, that wouldn't be 17, Randy.
Be 17.
That would be like 13 or 14. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'm just thinking of my daughter and like, holy shit, there's just no bloody way in hell she would have gotten married at 17, right? And of her own accord, I didn't have to convince her otherwise, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. No, she never came to me and said such a thing, right? Yeah.
Goodness. All right.
Yeah. I'm going to marry this guy who's 50 and blah, blah, blah. She never did that. Never. Rather the opposite, right? Yeah. Well, you know, like this, the millennial generation is opting out of marriage, right? You know, or, you know, even the generation, our generation, the generation that, you know, is succeeding us, people are, you know, for the most part, well, I shouldn't say for the most part, but certainly I think there's been a decline in marriage and people just cohabit as, what do you call it? They're still legal.
Common law.
Yeah, thank you. And they're perfectly happy to do that and have families or not, you know?
Yeah.
That's totally normalized now. Whereas, you know, the guy in the 30s marrying the 17-year-old is not normalized anymore whatsoever. Right. Yeah.
It still happens probably, but
sure it does. Yeah.
But in the rural community,
well, and certainly in other communities, you know, underage child marriages do happen.
Yeah.
Here in Canada.
So, okay. I think we'll leave it there and we'll sign off.
Underage marriage.
Donna Lynn joined us. Donna Lynn, I'm so happy to see you. And we're just signing off now. Donna Lynn is a very influential part of my childhood.
Uh-huh.
Just to fill you guys in, my best friend when I was growing up lived next door to me. And Donna Lynn married, goodness, how can I get this straight now? Donna Lynn was my best friend's aunt, and she married, Donna Lynn was my best friend's aunt, and her brother ended up marrying my best friend.
Oh.
You see what I mean? So, like, there's all kinds of obvious, you know, jokes that were going on about, what do you call it? Mixed, you know, what do you call it? When you intermarry, but clearly that wasn't the case. It was
no, you weren't all related.
Right?
Yeah.
But I've always felt that Donna Lynn and I guess I would say that side of the family is, I've identified with them very much as family, and I'm so excited that she took a moment to join us.
Yeah.
Thanks, Donna Lynn.
Well, I think we should sign off now. I'm turning into a pumpkin.
Yeah. I'm starting to yawn.
American listeners, send me shoes.
Oh, yeah. Right. What the
send
hell?
Me shoes.
Like,
my God, I am shoeless.
I
am actually shoeless right now. I can't afford the tariffs.
Yeah. Oh, please send us shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, God, no.
You know,
the humanity. Yeah.
There was that Canadian girl, actually, no, a Canadian woman's daughter visiting from France or niece or something. She was jogging around the border. She had kind of been pushed around by the waves a little bit. She got arrested,
2 weeks
detained for 2 weeks.
It's crazy. It's
so now this shoe gathering business is very serious now. Like,
yeah, if you send me shoes, send Skechers.
Yeah. We can't go to the border to get the shoes anymore without papers.
Skechers are freaking awesome.
I know. I love them.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time I'm not at threat of the dog chewing my shoes, I will buy myself another pair. Unless an American is willing to send some to me. Yeah. Size 8, 8.5. Yeah.
I'm 7.5.
Yeah. So I'm totally shoeless. I've only got like 10 pairs.
The cats are chewing on them.
Yeah, the laces are gone because of the cats. Okay, I think we're going to sign off now. So thank you for listening, most of you. And
enjoying the phone.
And yeah, I'll try and fix that. I don't know why it did that. But anyway, good night. And I guess we'll be back in a couple weeks. And lots of stories. Good night, everybody. Bye-bye. Come on. Change. No, it's not going to do it. I'm going to have to do it manually.
You've been listening to the Legion of Reason Diversion coming to you from Alberta, Canada. If you enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing to our bi-weekly podcast on iTunes and other podcatchers. Even better, subscribe to our YouTube live sessions where you can join in on the discussion. Thanks for giving us a listen. Music and other sound effects under license from audioblocks.com.